The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hi there, I'm Mike Waters, and we're back with another Inside Syracuse Basketball Podcast presented by Krause Health, the official partner of Syracuse Athletics, providing the latest technology and expertise for the treatment of stroke and cardiac emergencies. Today on the podcast, I'm joined by former Syracuse basketball player Cole Swider. I talked with Cole about the NBA draft, when he knew the Lakers had offered him a deal, his amazing run at the NBA Summer League, and what he's doing now to get ready for the Lakers training camp.
Well, welcome back to the Inside Syracuse Basketball Podcast. And today we've got a great guest and a familiar face to all Syracuse basketball fans because he was suiting up for the Orange just this past season. It's former Syracuse player, Cole Swider. Cole, welcome to the podcast for the second time.
Yeah, thank you, man. I appreciate you having me back on. And obviously, always have a special place in my heart for Syracuse. So yeah, it's great. It's great to link with you again.
Well, you know, what's funny is the first time you came on the podcast was before you had ever played for Syracuse. In fact, it was just after you had decided to transfer from Villanova to Syracuse. Who would have thought then that the next time you're on the podcast, you'd be wearing a Lakers basketball t-shirt?
Yeah, man, it's God's work, man. I mean, I'm just so thankful of being able to go to Syracuse for a year, not having the season that we wanted, but be able to go out there and show what I could do and then have this opportunity with the Lakers. I'm just so thankful and blessed to have been a part of the Syracuse basketball program and play for Coach Boeheim, G-Mac, Red, Griff, and everything that came with the season. Obviously, so many close losses, a lot of tough games, but it's all a blessing to be here and just very thankful.
You know, it was a tough season last year in general for the team, going 16-17. But for you, you know, kind of putting the season in a way aside for a second, where you are now, could you have imagined at the time when you're deciding to transfer to Syracuse that you would be in this position after just 1 year at SU?
Yeah, I mean, I thought that it was definitely a possibility. You know, I mean, I always try and have great belief in myself. And I thought that going to SU would give me a chance to show what I could do on a big stage in the ACC. And Coach Boeheim told me from the time I got there, you're going to be playing 30 minutes a game. You're not coming out and you have to earn everything that you get. But at the same time, there's opportunity for you here. So, obviously the season went how it went and got an opportunity to, even after the season, I was considering coming back to Syracuse, but, everyone told me and all eyes told me to go on the next step and challenge yourself in the NBA. So just very blessed and thankful, like I keep saying, and just happy that I came to Syracuse.
You know, tell me about that decision to leave Syracuse, or actually not really leave it per se, because it was your fourth year of school, but you did have the option of coming back for an extra year. You know, and obviously the NBA isn't a sure thing because, I mean, you weren't even drafted. So really take me through that process and what you were hearing.
Yeah, I think that whole entire process, like after the season, you know what I mean? I try to take a week to not think about things. And then once we started the process of listening to agents and talking to Coach Boeheim and talking to G-Mac and everyone who was in the program, it was one of those decisions where Coach Boeheim told me from the beginning, he's like, hey, like, whatever you need to do, I'm here for. And obviously, we'd love to have you back. But at the same time, you have to do what's best for you. And just having that just no pressure and making the best decision for me was such a blessing. Coach Boeheim never wavered in that. He never pressured me that he needed me back, because honestly, if Coach Boeheim, just how loyal and thankful I was to him. If he was saying, hey, Cole, I need you back, I might have gone back just out of loyalty to him. But the whole entire time, him, G-Mac, Red, all those guys, they were just, hey, whatever's best for you, whatever you're hearing. And And it was just, I'm just so thankful that it worked out the way it did. But yeah, like you said, there was no guarantees, and it's just a blessing to be here.
So I'm sure some people listening to this podcast are wondering why, you know, Jim Boeheim wouldn't be more selfish, you know, and say, come on back. Like, all if all he really has to do is, you know, kind of pull at your emotional heartstrings a little bit, you know, he could have had you in orange again. And I'm sure there's another segment of the fan base who was like, you know, this is actually how you develop player loyalty and trust, right?
Yeah, I think one thing about Coach Boeheim that not a lot of people talk about is just how loyal he is. He's the most loyal human being I've ever been around. You can see with his staff, he has three former players and a former manager on his staff. You know what I mean? Our video coordinator has been there for 30 years, or 20 years, 25 years, whatever, however long it's been. Coach Boeheim's, like I said, he's a special person to me. He gave me a chance. And, yeah, I think out of loyalty to him, I may have came back. But at the end of the day, he didn't care about the short term for me. He cared about the long term, and he knew the best decision for me long term was to pursue the NBA. And I'm just so thankful for him that he kind of he gave me that freedom to make that decision on my own.
So you decide to, you know, enter your name into the draft. On draft night, what are your thoughts as the draft's going on? Are there expectations that you are going to get selected, or do you have intel, you know, from an agent who's kind of like letting you know what's going to happen? Because sometimes it seems like, you know, everybody does know what's happening on draft night, and it's just a mystery to us who are watching it on TV.
Yeah, I would actually say it's the other way around. I think everyone thinks they're going to get drafted going into draft night, and there's a lot of people who are kind of shocked when they don't get drafted. So I thought there's five teams on draft night that had talked about drafting me, but at the end of the day, all those teams didn't end up selecting me, and the Lakers told me that if I was around after the draft, that there'd be a good opportunity to be possibly a two-way. So obviously picking the Lakers was the best decision for me, just the roster composition, how they have all the money tied up in three players and how they need shooting on the roster. So I think it was just overall the best place for me to be, and it was the best decision for me to make at that time.
Now, Syracuse fans know this part. You had an amazing summer league with the Lakers, starting out with a couple games in San Francisco, but the five in Vegas – averaging like a little over 15 points a game and shooting 50% from three, and not just one for two a night. You're taking over seven and a half three-pointers a game, and you're making 50% of them. Take me through summer league. I mean, why were you able to get so many good shots and take advantage of them?
Yeah, I just think from the beginning, Coach Ham brought me in, he's like, hey, every single time you get the ball, shoot it. You know what I mean? I think the first game I was a little hesitant, and a bunch of my teammates just came up to me, and Coach Ham came up to me and was like, hey, like, we want to let that thing go. You know what I mean? He has a term, and he's like, LTF, just let it fly. You know what I mean? Or LIF, let it fly. And like from the beginning, he just made sure that I knew that he wants me shooting a lot of shots, and obviously not having four or five draft picks or four or five young guys on the team helped me a lot to be able to get that confidence. And by the end, they were running plays for me after timeouts and running plays for me at, like, first play of the game, first play of the half. And it was just honestly a great situation for me to come into. And I got a lot of opportunity to go out there and play without even thinking about coming out, which was great.
You know, sometimes when I watch summer league games, to be honest, you know, the teams don't look cohesive, and I understand why. Guys are just thrown together pretty much at the last minute, but you know, a guard may ignore a big guy open on the wing in order to do his own thing and try to impress somebody. When I watched the Lakers summer league team, it didn't seem that way. It seemed like there was a lot of sharing of the ball going on. Where did that come from?
Yeah, I think from day one, I think Coach Ham, he was in a lot of our practices early on. He was running some of those practices early on. And he said, what we do as Lakers is that we share. And the best way that all you guys can get contracts, the best way all you guys can get looked at is making sure that you guys are sharing the ball, doing the right things. And honestly, it was the best news. It was the best thing that we could have heard. And I thought we did a great job. And some of the games that we lost, I think we didn't do it as well. But I think overall the summer league was great. I made a lot of great connections. I thought a lot of the players that I played against who were on my team did great in summer league. And honestly, I thought it was overall a great experience for everyone. But I thought Coach Ham did a really good job right from the beginning, making sure that we knew that we were passing the ball and holding guys accountable when they didn't.
You're obviously, you know, you keep mentioning Darvin Ham. He's going to be a first-time head coach in the league. Is that a good thing for you, being a rookie and having a guy who's, you know, new to this with the Lakers and maybe open to finding a couple young players to add to his roster and develop them?
Yeah, I think a couple of things. I think he comes from a system in Milwaukee where they really develop their young guys. He was an undrafted guy himself, so he knows the grind of it. And also just I think just him being a first-time head coach, we're going to go through this together for the first time. So everyone's learning the new style of play on the team. Everyone is kind of picking up things at the same time. And obviously being able to play with geniuses like LeBron and AD and Russell Westbrook, it will make my transition a lot easier. Ask those guys questions, just being around them and everything going forward. So I think Coach Ham's just done a great job of coming in, setting his principles and going from there.
You know, when you're not drafted, you're actually now in a position, you and your agent are in a position where you can choose, you know, have as much control over where you're going. You know, it's not so much the teams picking you. I mean, so did you and your agent really put your heads together and try to find you a place? Did you have those kind of options?
Yeah, no, for sure. I think on draft night, we narrowed down a couple options that if I were not to get drafted, that we were really going to target. I got brought back for two workouts at three different places. So I thought those three places would be good options for me after the draft. The second workout was with the Hawks, the Lakers, and the Bucks. So I thought those three situations would have been good for me. And after the draft, we kind of went in that situation. And I was just very fortunate that the Lakers called me while the draft was going on and offered the contract. So it was great.
While the draft was going on?
Yeah, because the agents have intel based on who's going to get drafted at this spot. Or Milwaukee had the last pick in the draft, and we thought that could have been a good situation, but they were going another direction. So they called my agent and offered me the two-way around 55, 56, and I was able to tell everyone in my house that I was going to the Lakers. So it was nice not having to wait.
What was that moment like, you know, after putting down the phone and turning around and, you know, who all was there and what was the environment like?
Yeah, it was a lot of close friends and family. Coach Hart, that you got a lot of people know in Syracuse really well for having so many players play at Syracuse. And I had some Syracuse managers there. None of my Syracuse coaches could come because they're in the middle of summer workouts, but just a lot of close friends and family who helped me along this process and journey. So I could feel the room getting kind of tense towards the end. So I went up and just told everyone, hey, like, you guys are my closest friend and family. I have no shame in going undrafted. I have no shame in it. Whatever happens tonight, you guys are the people that have helped me get to this point. So it was just overall just a blessing, a great feeling. And it's hard to describe it.
Yeah. So I'm sitting here thinking with, like, you know, three picks left in the draft, you've already gotten the phone call with your agent and the Lakers, and you're nobody tweet this, but guess what? I'm if anybody puts this out, like Woj or Shams, we're in trouble, but I'm going to the Lakers.
Yep.
Yeah.
No, I at that point, I think Shams already tweeted it out. So things go quickly right after the draft. So I know everyone's kind of getting on the phone and trying to figure out what their next destination is. So I know Buddy was a pretty similar situation that he heard like around the same time as I did or soon after the draft, because as soon as I got on my phone, I saw that Buddy had the two-way with the Pistons, and I was just so excited for him as well.
Explain as much as you can the dynamics of a two-way deal, because that's what you've signed with the Lakers.
Yeah, I mean, the dynamics of the two-way deal is that you're on both rosters. You're on the NBA roster and the G League roster. And you're the 16th and 17th man for the NBA team. Only the first only the first four years of your NBA career, you can sign a two-way deal. So it's implemented for younger players to have an opportunity to be that 16th, 17th man. You can play up to 50 NBA games. You make half the rookie minimum. So it's a great deal, and it's a great thing for guys like me and Buddy who may not be good enough to get drafted right now, but we'll still have the opportunity to go into summer league and be a priority on these teams. So, there's obviously a lot more that goes into the two-way, but that's kind of like the easy rundown of it.
And the other player with the Lakers that's on a two-way deal is Scottie Pippen Jr., right?
Yep.
Famous name.
Yep. Yeah.
What was it like to, I mean, and Shaquille O'Neal was also on the Lakers summer league roster. Were their dads around at all? What's that like? If you do see like a Scottie Pippen or a Shaquille O'Neal and you're playing with their kids.
Yeah. I mean, Scottie was courtside for almost all of our games. He came to our games in San Francisco, and he's been very supportive of me. After one of the games, I beelined to him and gave him a quick dap because the whole entire time he was on the sideline telling me to shoot. So, those guys have been great. I didn't get to see Shaq while we were out there. I think didn't want the attention to be on him. So, I think overall it's just the kids have been great. They're super humble, super easy to talk to. They're obviously very, very good players. And me and Scottie got really close over summer league, and I thought it showed on the court a little bit too. So, Scottie's a great player. Sharif obviously just signed a really good deal with G League Ignite, and I'm super happy for him as well.
So, when does training camp start, and what do you do in this time before it does?
Yeah, so right now we're in off-season training activities, which is optional. But for guys like me and the rookies, it's, you know what I mean, you got to be out here. So right now we're working out in the morning. A lot of guys were here. We actually had 10 players here today, so that was going to be some 5-on-5. We got some skill work in. Got to go over some defensive concepts and everything like that. Coach Cham was in the building kind of going through it. And then after that, this will go on to the end of August. We'll get to go home. And then after Labor Day, that's when all the vets will come in. All the guys like AD, LeBron, Russ, all those guys will come back and start playing pickup from there. And then training camp starts at the end of September. And then once training camp preseason and after that, the regular season starts shortly thereafter. So it's definitely a different schedule than college. College, you're practicing all year round. You're practicing in the summer. You're practicing in the fall. And the games don't start till early November. But in the NBA, it picks up fast. And I feel like there's not a downtime in the NBA, but there's a it goes quickly from the draft to summer league to OTAs to quickly thereafter training camp and the season starts. So are the
guys that are there in LA now, this basically the same ones that played on the summer league team, or are there some different faces around?
There's a lot of the guys in the summer league, but also there's a lot of the younger guys on the team. Lonnie Walker's here, Troy Brown Jr.'s here, Juan Toscano-Anderson's here. We had four guys on our summer league team playing today, and then we had six guys who are on the roster who are younger guys. So, it's a good mix of guys, a lot of younger guys who obviously they want them to get a head start on learning the concepts before all the older veterans get here. So it's been a great experience so far.
Even a younger guy like a Lonnie Walker, who Syracuse fans will remember from the University of Miami, you know, guys like that can provide some guidance for a rookie such as yourself.
Yeah, no, for sure. All those guys have been great. I mean, Lonnie entered the NBA when he was 19. He's 23 now, so he's already been in the NBA for 4 years, and we're the same age. You know what I mean? So it's a totally different dynamic, but they've all been great. Troy Brown, same thing. He's been in the NBA for 4 years already. Juan Toscano-Anderson has been in the NBA for 4 years. So I think overall it's just a lot of just picking those guys' brains, hearing from them, and obviously they all those guys play with star players, from Troy playing with Bradley Beal, from Juan Toscano-Anderson winning a championship with the Warriors. So they know what it's like to kind of play with star players, and that's what it is in the NBA. You got to have your star players and then the players who play off those star players.
What's your average day like out there right now?
Yeah, try and get to the facility around 8 a.m. We usually have a lift around 9. Lift from like 9 to 10, and then we usually get on the court from around 10 to 11:30, and then get some treatment, get in the cold tub, and then you're usually good for the day. And then if you want to, you can come back later and shoot. But that's part of the NBA that everyone says to get used to, is you got to find another hobby, because you don't have class, you don't have study hall, you don't have the extracurricular things that you have in college. So I think overall, it's just trying to find a couple of different things, while also just staying in the gym as well.
So learning to play the guitar or learning to speak French, what is it? What's your hobby?
Yeah, I was honestly in class until last Friday. So I was busy in class doing all that stuff. I was doing that through summer league, so trying to stay on top of class. And so I haven't really picked up a new hobby. I love playing golf, so going to the driving range every now and then. But yeah, I still got to pick up a new hobby. So just trying to figure that out. Maybe the guitar, though.
I've planted the seed in his head. Class. Are you finishing up your degree? Is that what's going on with having to do that?
Yeah, I just finished it up. So just finished up college, and yeah, I was doing it through summer league. I was doing it through the pre-draft process, and just part of transferring over from Villanova. I had to finish up some extra credits, and that was one deal that I made with my mom when I transferred. So she's like, "Hey, make sure you finish your degree." So when I transferred to Syracuse, we set it up all set up, and it just worked out that I had to finish two classes in the summer, so I just finished up my last class. So it's definitely a relief, and thankful I got it done with.
Congratulations, that's awesome.
Thank you.
What'd you get your degree in?
Communications and rhetoric studies. So maybe head into the podcast field. Who knows?
Oh, no. You're going to invade my space? That's great. Okay. No, actually, there's plenty of room out here. Start your own podcast. I'd love to listen to it. Who's your first guest?
Maybe Coach Boeheim. I feel like that would be a good guest to have. You know what I mean? He has a lot of stories, coached a lot of great players. GMAC would be a great guest. Maybe Buddy and Jimmy, a little brother edition. I don't know. But obviously, having a lot of friends throughout the NBA, a lot of guys who have played, a lot of great players. I think it's just all about learning their stories, learning how they grew up and kind of some of the obstacles they had to go through. So I think that would be a cool thing to do.
I'd listen. That sounds cool. Yeah. That sounds cool. Now, I've seen the refrigerator open a couple times. I don't know who's going into it. But so what is an NBA rookie have in his fridge? I mean, are you eating well?
Oh, of course. I mean, I'm in the Lakers facility right now. So everything in there is good stuff, whether that's protein shakes, electrolyte drinks, water. They have some snacks in there for us, fruit. So yeah, it's all good stuff. I try to be a pretty healthy eater myself. And yeah, so.
So you're at the Lakers facility. You're not at like in an apartment or condo.
No, not right now, no.
Okay, very good. Have you thought or considered what it's going to be like next month playing or practicing with LeBron James and Anthony Davis?
Yeah, I mean, LeBron's been here a couple of times and actually got to talk to him a few times at Summer League and being here. And LeBron's always been my favorite player. So just being here, actually having a relationship with him has been awesome. So it's one of those things where I don't know if it'll ever get normal, but at the same time, it's just a blessing to be here and be able to learn from him as well.
I mean, you have to sit there and go, you know, just be cool.
You know, for sure. I think with those guys, you got to be yourself, because that's what they want. That's what they want you to be. So just trying to be myself, trying to stay true to who I am and just shoot the ball for them.
Yeah, just shoot the ball. The Lakers G League team, it's right there also in LA, right? So even when you're on the G League roster, you'll be around the Lakers franchise, correct?
Yeah, I think one of the cool things about being with the Lakers is that they live in the same facility. The G League lives in the same facility as the actual Lakers. So we play our games in the practice facility. We have a locker room in the practice facility as well. So everything is intertwined. It's the same weight room, the same meals. So it's one of those things where I'm super fortunate to be in the same facility as the Lakers. So when I'm going back and forth between teams, it's not going to be a huge difference. And everything's here. So it works out really well.
So there you are in LA, two-way contract, just 1 year after going to SU. Do you ever think about where you would be had you stayed at Villanova for your senior year?
Yeah, I've thought about it a little bit, and I honestly don't know. I think with Colin with Colin Gillespie and Jermaine Sammons coming back, kind of would have been hard for me to kind of break out the way I did at Syracuse. So nothing but love for guys over there, but definitely think going to Syracuse was the best decision for me and my future.
I mean, certainly you are like the poster boy for the transfer portal and immediate eligibility, right? If you had to sit out a year after being at Villanova for three, I mean, I guess you could have done it, but that's a tougher decision at that point, right?
Oh, I totally agree. I think just with implementation of that rule of being able to play right away was something that really led to my decision on what I should do. And just having that, I wasn't able to graduate at Villanova, so the grad transfer was out of the equation. And having that opportunity to just go and play right away and be able to graduate was such a big part of my decision. So it would have been a much tougher decision if I had to sit out a year.
You know, and you and I have talked about it before. You know, the choice of Syracuse, you know, that Syracuse being the school that you did transfer to. Obviously, Syracuse had recruited you hard coming out of high school. But really, what went into that decision? And you know, what other schools were seriously considered?
Yeah, I think just going back to the decision, I think just the comfort that I have with the coaching staff, with the players, with just the system that Coach Boeheim ran, I knew I was going to be able to shoot a lot of threes. I knew I was going to be involved in the offense, be able to play the way that I knew I could play. And I knew overall that playing the ACC, playing on a big stage at Syracuse, where they just came off a Sweet 16 run as well, I thought it was just a really great situation for me. And just seeing the roster kind of clear up with Quincy leaving, with Alan Griffin leaving, it just gave a lot of clarity. Even with Robert Braswell leaving, just gave a lot of clarity for me to go in and go play right away. So I think those things. And then in terms of other schools that recruited me, I had a lot of schools when I went to the portal, but I think Indiana would have been a school I would have considered if I had not gone to Syracuse. Arizona, Rutgers, I mean, I had a bunch of schools, and Florida was another school. So I think there was a bunch of schools that I could have went to, but Syracuse is the best decision of my life. So I'm just very happy and fortunate that Coach Boeheim took a chance on me.
Well, I'm glad the decision worked out for you. Obviously it has, because there you are right here on the podcast, second time around, arms folded with a Lakers shirt on. That must be pretty cool. Well, listen, I know Syracuse fans will be following you, you know, throughout the process. Good luck at training camp next month. And don't be a stranger here on the pod. You know, before you get your own, you might need to come back a couple more times and kind of really get the ins and outs of a podcast.
Hey, definitely, man. Thank you for having me back on. Nothing but love for Syracuse and the fans. And I'll definitely be back, hopefully watching a couple games, and obviously be cheering on Syracuse from afar. So, like I said, thank you, and hope all is well with you and your family.
Well, there he is, folks. Cole Swider, now a member of the Los Angeles Lakers. Cole, again, thanks for coming on the podcast. And for the listeners out there, hope you enjoyed it, and we'll see you next time.
I want to thank Cole for joining me on the podcast today. And thanks to you out there as well for listening in. Please subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcast and follow all of our complete coverage of Syracuse basketball on Syracuse.com. Until next time on the Inside Syracuse Basketball Podcast, I'm Mike Waters.